James chapter number 1. Tomorrow our country that we live in turns 246 years old. And I do thank the Lord for our country. Thank the Lord for our country and the fact that God has used it for many years now to send out missionaries, to spread the gospel, translate the word of God to people's native tongues. It has brought a lot of blessings to the world. But our nation is falling apart. And the reason, and I love our country, I'm thankful for it. And that's an okay thing to say, all right? Bible teaches we pray for our leaders and support our leaders and do all that we can. Live peaceably with all men. The problem in our nation today is sin. You know, that's simple. That's a simple problem. I hate sin. I hate it more today than I did yesterday. James chapter 1 and verse number 15 says, then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. Sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. I got a heavy message. I'm just sharing what's on my heart. The last couple weeks, I've had to deal with a lot of sin and the tragedies of sin. One of our principles in our hope meeting that we have on Thursday is this, that sin destroys, everyone, everything it touches. Sin destroys everything that it touches, including our country. You know, you read in the Bible, and you read often, like at the different churches that we have record of in the Word of God, and there was always elders there, a plurality of pastors in pretty much every instance. And one of the reasons for that, I believe, is because of the anti-God, no knowledge of God world that churches were being started in. I mean, in Corinth, until Paul went there, there was nothing, right? You know, until in Thessalonica, it was just pagan until the Word of God got there. A lot of carnal living. And you see a multiplicity of pastors. I believe one of the reasons is because there was such a sinful environment around. There was a lot more that the people needed help and growth and knowledge and strength and teaching and accountability. And we've kind of been spoiled in this country for about 150 years, there was a respect for the things of God. There was a heritage that respected life, that respected the Word, that respected churches, that respected morals. That's why you could, you know, even when I was a kid, you could knock on a door and, you know, even if building a bus route, the parents wanted their kids to go because they went to church when they were young. They wanted their kids to get what they got. And that's all gone. Now, I'm not like defeated and woe is us, crawl under a rock and cry. No, I'm not. Hang with me on the sermon, all right? But that's gone. You know, I look back in the last 100 or so years and, you know, it was like there was a generation that went through the world wars, Vietnam, and when all that, and they filtered back into the churches after all this fighting, they wanted, you know, tell me what to do, and we'll do it. That was that generation. And you saw that in churches, too. People just structure. Unfortunately, some pastors took way too much, became dictators, because people wanted that, so they kind of became that. And then there came a generation, you know, kind of my age and a little bit higher, a little bit lower, that instead of tell me what to do and I'll do it, it was like, all right, prove it. Prove it, and I'll do it. And now today's generation is whatever. That's where we are in this country. Whatever. We've only been on visitation on our Wednesday night summer visitation, what, 5 weeks? Right, give or take. Give me a little liberty there, but I didn't add them up. But we've had more police called on us already than we have in the previous years. Yesterday, some of our guys were passing out flyers and someone threatened to call the police. So what's going on? Anti-God philosophy. No knowledge of the Lord. And again, don't get me wrong, stay with me on the sermon. I know I'm depressing right now. All right, but, you know, and I said this a couple weeks ago in church, you know, our Constitution and our Bill of Rights, I love them. Praise God for those things, all right? Praise God for those things. They won't work in a sin-crazed nation. They won't. I hate that. You know, freedom of speech, praise the Lord for that freedom. It's going away because you can't have it in a sin-crazed nation. Because you can't have people saying, well, God says this is wrong. In a sin-crazed nation, they won't allow you to say that, so speech has to be muffled. Our Second Amendment to bear arms, it's awesome. Our forefathers were wise in that. See, look at all the violence in this country. Yeah, it's without a respect and sanctity of life and no morals and no authorities, and that right gets challenged. I believe in that right. Leaving this room, understanding I believe in that. But when the vast majority of people could care less about the life of their neighbor, and there is no authorities, and every man will do what's right in his own eyes, that challenges these rights. The Third and Fourth Amendment, Bill of Rights, to keep the government out of our business. That's what they're there for. Read them. That's what they're there. Personal liberty. A sin-crazed world needs someone to take care of them. So those rights are going to be attacked. The 5th through the 10th, basically, Bill of Rights, or justice and the government not overstepping. Well, then there is no authority and there is no... Praise the Lord. While I was down in Florida, Roe versus Wade was overturned. That's awesome. Praise the Lord for that and the babies that will be saved. Praise the Lord. But boy, people fighting back, right? Government will overstep its bounds contrary because sin corrupts the nation. Sin is destroying our homes. As I said this morning in Sunday school, it's destroying churches, destroying homes. See, what is happening? There's two things I just want to mention real quick. Number one, there is the law of sin. We kind of read it there in James, chapter 1, verse number 15. When lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth what? Death. That's the law of sin. Sin brings death. Look back in Romans chapter number 5. Let's use our Bibles real quick, right? Romans chapter number 5 and in verse number 12. Romans chapter 5 and in verse number 12. Romans 5 and verse number 12. I want you to see the law of sin. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and what's the next phrase? Death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. In Romans chapter 5 and in verse number 21, that as sin hath reigned unto what? Death. Romans chapter 6 and in verse number 16. Know ye not, Romans 6:16, that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto what?
Death.
Romans chapter 6 and verse 23. For the wages of sin is what?
Death.
Turn over a few pages to the right. 1 Corinthians chapter number 15. 1 Corinthians 15 and in verse number 56. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse number 56 says this: the sting of death is what?
Sin.
The law of sin states that sin brings death. That's the law of sin. And I think that for a lot of us, like myself, that was raised in church, we say the wages of sin is death, and it absolutely, the lake of fire and that second death, and absolutely, but sin kills everything. Kills everything. Turn back to Romans chapter number 7 real quick. Romans chapter number 7 and in verse number 23. Again, just stay with me, read these few verses here, right? Romans chapter 7, because let's just be honest, it doesn't really matter what I think, but what the Word of God says means everything, right? So I want to see this established. In Romans 7 and verse number 23, Paul said this: but I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind. And remember what we talked about this morning in Sunday school. If you miss Sunday school is important, right? But our mind, our soul's making all these decisions, who we're going to obey. I see a law in my members warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of what? Sin, which is in my members. That's our flesh. O wretched man that I am. That's all of us, by the way. Who shall deliver me from this body of this death? That's what sin does. I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord, so then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. I do not have to serve the law of sin. I can choose to follow the law of God. Chapter 8. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. If you're saved, praise God, there's no condemnation from the Lord. Verse number 2, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. If you're saved, you have the authority and the power to overcome the law of sin and death. Praise the Lord for that. Turn to Romans chapter number 8, we're going to look down at verse number 6. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If you're saved, that's you. Amen? If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. We have the Spirit of the Lord in us. We do not have to walk after the flesh. I have watched for years now, but it seems to be getting worse and worse, which is to be expected, as because the Bible says in the end times, perilous times will come. Because men are going to be lovers of who? Themselves. People are going to love themselves. Love, again, their focus is going to be on who? Themselves. What do we study in Sunday school? That when our focus is on ourselves, we become dull to the Lord. You say, yes, them lost people. Absolutely, their spirit's dead. They only have one option, serve the law of sin and death. But they can be saved and set free from that. But we as believers, when we get so focused on ourselves, the things of God become null to us. And we begin to revert back to serving the law because that's our default. Our flesh is wicked. And when our attention is on ourselves, we begin serving our flesh. And I have watched this week, and last week, and you have too, how death destroys. We too often just take sin way too lightly. We look and we say, yes, the world is sinful. And boy, Sin is terrible. And it is. But sin is destroying. I say it with complete confidence, unfortunately, that we coddle sin way too much. We allow too many things in our life. And I guess if anything, like the last few weeks, what it can do is remind us real quick that sin is not to be laughed at, and sin's not to be coddled with, and sin's not to be embraced, and sin's not to be adored, because sin kills. It kills. And the world is becoming much more bold in their sin. And churches are accepting much more sin. Is it affecting us? I've had to deal in the last 2 weeks with murder and drunkenness and adultery, fornication, theft, sodomy, lying, depression. See, those things are out in the world. I've had to deal with those things the last 2 weeks. I'm not saying it for any reason other than this. We need to hate sin again. Love people, but hate sin. If we're not careful. And it doesn't just happen like out of nowhere. The devil always starts small. Just, you know, hath God said, right? Remember what he said to Eve? Just questioning little things. I'll never forget a few months ago, I was studying this. Look at this real quick. Look back in 2 Chronicles chapter 1 in the Old Testament. Look at this real quick. 2 Chronicles chapter number 1. I was reading my devotions and, you know, I always try to look for something from the Lord every day, and something caught my eye. I didn't know why it caught my eye, and I studied it, which is weird to study, but it really just, the Lord taught me something awesome. All right, 2 Chronicles chapter number 1, verse number 16. All right, 2 Chronicles 1 and in verse number 16 says this. 2 Chronicles 1:16, and Solomon had horses brought out of Egypt. And that just jumped out at me. And I was like, why is that jumping out at me, right? Solomon brought horses out of Egypt. What's the big deal? And so I got out a little commentary and started doing a little reference and checking. Turn back to Deuteronomy chapter number 17. Deuteronomy chapter 17. The Lord is giving instructions to Israel and the law. And in Deuteronomy chapter number 17, look at verse number 14. Deuteronomy 17, verse number 14. Everybody with me, say amen. All right, good. All right. Deuteronomy 17, verse 14 says this. God gives these future instructions. When thou art come into the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, and shalt possess it, and shalt dwell therein, and shalt say, I will set a king over me, like as all the nations that are about me. God knew what they were going to do. They're going to want a king. And it wasn't necessarily God's will, but God said, you're going to ask for that. Verse 15, thou shalt in any wise set him king over thee, whom the Lord thy God shall choose. One from among thy brethren shalt thou set over thee. Thou mayest not set a stranger over thee, which is not thy brother. Verse 16, but he shall not multiply horses to himself, nor cause the people to return to Egypt. Isn't it interesting? Someday you're going to go into the land I promise. Someday you're going to get a king. Rule number one, don't get horses from Egypt. Right? Isn't it interesting? See, well, what happened? Turn over to 1 Kings, back to the right. 1 Kings chapter number 11. 1 Kings chapter number 11. Did Solomon get horses from Egypt? Yes. Did he disobey God? Yes. 1 Kings chapter number 11, verse number 1. 1 Kings 11, 1. But King Solomon loved many strange women, together with the daughter of who? How'd he meet her? He built a relationship with Egypt, getting horses. You get down to verse number 11 of that chapter, same chapter. Wherefore the Lord said unto Solomon, for as much as this is done of thee, and thou hast not kept my covenant and my statutes, which I have commanded thee, I will surely rend thy kingdom from thee. Wow. You know what Solomon did? He not only built a relationship with the daughter of Pharaoh, he married her, brought her, built her own palace, and a place to worship her false gods. You say, well, why did you read all that? Because there is a silly thing, right, that the Lord said, don't get horses from Egypt, that people thought, big deal, right? They could have got horses from somewhere else. The Bible didn't say not to get horses. It specifically said, don't gather horses from Egypt. And I'm sure Solomon and his men said, we're past that, right? We've been established for a long time, right? God knew what he was doing. I say that because the devil just doesn't walk in and bring all these wicked things into churches and such. Let me tell you what he does. He tries to get you to challenge the silly things. The what's the big deal about these things? You following me? May sound simple, church, but I'm talking about this, all right? What's the big deal about skipping church every once in a while? What's the big deal about having some bitterness towards someone? You got your own opinion on music. I can keep my critical spirit. My home doesn't have to do these things. What's the big deal about dressing that way? It always starts with the little things. The things that we think are silly. The things, well, it isn't going to affect anything in the grand scheme. You know, I'll go, you know, I can go sit in a bar. I'll just drink Pepsi. Better be careful. I'll let my kids get involved in these sports at all on Sundays, and it's going to cost this church for a season, but it'll be all right. Better be careful. I'll let my kids play these demonic video games, Dungeons and Dragons and stuff. What's the big deal? Better be careful. Well, that's just, you know, that's just old stuff. You know, we live in a different age. That's what they told Solomon. And that's what the wisest man on the face of the earth, right? Said, I know what God said. But he did it anyways. That's why things, and I know a lot of people don't agree with me, but, you know, I don't, never been in a movie theater, and I don't go. You say, is it a sin to go watch something that isn't evil? No. Don't. But you better be careful, because it opens doors. It opens doors. And there's certain things that God says, be careful. Because you start trading the horses, pretty soon you're going to meet Pharaoh's daughter. After you meet Pharaoh's daughter, you're going to marry her. After you marry her, you're going to build her own pagan temple. And now you got people worshiping false gods, and you lose your entire nation. That's what sin does. But we get so comfortable with things, and we say, oh, what's the big deal? It isn't going to affect things. With permission, I say this. Tell that to the Alexanders. You go down to Florida and look in those people's eyes and tell them. It's just a look. I'm not affecting anyone else. You tell them. You tell the pastor that called me this week that said I want to quit. You tell them. You tell the church member that called me yesterday and said, I can't do anything but cry myself to sleep. Sin destroys everything. Everything. Sin brings death. That is a biblical law. Be it in our government, be it in our family, be it in our church, be it in our personal life. This is not a might. This is not, it possibly will bring death. It is a certainty. Sin destroys. And if we allow certain things to go on in our home, it's going to destroy our home. I can take you today, unfortunately, to the graveside and show you headstones of people. Sin destroyed. I can take you to parents who will tell you that the tragedy of their children. I can take you to a widow today. I can take you to so many different illustrations. Sin destroys. So you're being harsh. Stop with sin. This is not a make-believe thing or a fantasy. This is real. It's happening. That's the law of sin. Sin destroys. But then there is the law of sin. But listen, there can be liberty from sin. Sin doesn't have to do this. Look at a few verses. We'll establish this and close. Romans chapter number 6, verse number 23. Again, we read the first part. Look at it real quick. Romans chapter number 6. There is liberty from sin. How can I be set free from the law of sin? Number one, salvation. If you've never received Jesus Christ as your Savior, come to Him today and receive the Lord Jesus Christ. He will set you free from the law of sin and death. Amen? Romans chapter 6 and verse number 23, for the wages of sin is death. But, aren't you thankful for that conjunction? Amen? But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. You can be set free from the law of sin, which brings death. If you're not saved, be saved today. I worry about those who love the world so much. I worry about those who long for the world every day, who are always longing to run to the world, who want to be like the world, who will leave the counsel of God to find the counsel of the world, who will leave church and step out and step away from Christians. And the Bible says, by their fruits you shall know them. If you're saved, God ought to make a change in your life. And God will set you free from these things. You don't have to die and go to hell. Praise God for that. Jesus came to die for our sins. He took one day, a young man texted me this week. He said, if Jesus is God, I think that same conversation in Kids of Palooza. But if Jesus is God, how did he die? And this young man wrote me, and he said, he quoted this verse, the wages of sin is death. If Jesus didn't die, why? Or if Jesus didn't sin, why did he die? And I quickly responded to him from Corinthians there, that he who knew no sin became sin for us. He died because he took all of our sin and placed it upon himself. He's the only one that could ever bear that. And he went to the cross and he paid for all of our sins. He who knew no sin became sin for us. He took it all upon himself. He gave himself and he died for our sins. And our sins have been covered because of what Jesus Christ did for us. He became sin for us that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Isn't it glorious? The day you got saved, God exchanged our sin for the righteousness of his Son, Jesus Christ. I have been set free from the law of sin and death. I will never spend one second in hell. And that's nothing to do with me. It's all because of what Jesus did. I can be set free from the law of sin because of salvation. Romans chapter number 8. Look at Romans chapter number 8. Romans chapter 8 and verse number 2. Romans 8 and verse number 2. We read a little bit of this earlier. Romans 8, 2. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus had made me free from the law of sin and death. The law of the Spirit of life. Can I tell you a second thing that can set you free from the law of sin? Now I'm going to talk to believers. The Holy Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit of God. He brings, according to that verse, for the law of the Spirit of what? Life. What does the law of sin bring? But the law of the Spirit brings. Isn't that glorious? What can set me free from this law of sin? The Holy Spirit of God. The moment you get saved, the Holy Spirit comes in and dwells you. The book of Ephesians said that. And it says, not only is he there, but he stays there. You're sealed until the day of redemption. The Holy Spirit will stay. He is within you, and He'll be there until the day God calls us home. Amen? Then we'll be with the Lord for all of eternity. And that Spirit brings life. Question is not whether He's there. The question is this: are you submitted to Him? Or do you grieve Him? Because you can do one or the other. Matter of fact, we are doing one or the other. I love Galatians chapter number 5. Let me read it to you real quick. Galatians chapter number 5 and in verse number, is it 16? Galatians 5 and in verse number 16. If I can find it here, next page. Galatians 5, 16. This I say then, walk in the what? And if we walk in the Spirit, ye shall not fulfill the what? Lust of the flesh. What's going on? If we fulfill the lust of the flesh, when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth what? Sin. And sin, when it's finished, bringeth forth death. That's what our lust does. But if we walk in the Spirit, we will not walk in our flesh. In other words, God brings us life. In other words, if I catch this, God can rebuild your life. God can rebuild your family. God can bring life back into your home. God can bring life back to a church. God can bring life back. Praise the Lord. The law of the Spirit brings life. How does that happen? We have to be walking in the Spirit. I'm not just going to say it and just run by it. That happens through getting in this book. The Holy Spirit teaches us this book. He comforts us through this book. He guides us through this book. He convicts us through this book. You listening? The Holy Spirit does His work through the Word of God. And so we have to be in the Word of God. And what happens, the more we're in the Word of God, the more our mind is renewed and transformed, the more we'll think how God wants us to think. When we're thinking like God wants us to think, we'll act how God wants us to act. We will walk in the Spirit and not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And that brings, ready? Life. Amen. In other words, God restores you. He gives you joy. He gives you peace. Praise the Lord. Another thing, and it goes right along with it, Romans chapter number 6. Romans chapter 6 and verse number 16. Liberty from sin, salvation, the Spirit of God. Romans chapter 6 and verse number 16. Know ye not that to whom ye yield your servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto what? Death. Or, so here's the alternative. You'll either will yield yourself to the law of sin, which brings death, or of obedience unto righteousness. Let me tell you the fourth thing that will set you free from the law of sin: submission. You will obey. Not me. Don't obey me. I'll eventually lead you astray because I'm a human. I'll do my best not to, but I'm not perfect. Say, well, this hero of the faith. I've seen a lot of heroes of the faith fall flat on their face. I'll tell you who to submit yourself to. The Lord Jesus Christ in His Word. Listen to what I'm about to say. Life is your choice. What are you going to do with the Scriptures? What are you going to do with the Savior? What are you going to do to your brothers and sisters in Christ? You see, we want to surrender to everything but God many times. Listen, if you're a member of this church and the devil's pounding on you in your life, you say, everything is dark, I've lost all hope, let me ask you a question. Why don't you come and ask your pastor to help you? I'll do my best to take the Word of God. We don't have to run to the world every time. Amen. And I've been pastoring now. Isn't this crazy? Been a pastor now 18 years this month. That's crazy. I've been at the church 25 years now. That's quite a bit. But in that time, I've seen so many people, their life begins to get in turmoil and stuff, but instead of running to the spiritual, they run to the world. And I've scratched my head, why? And I think a lot of times because they know what the pastor's going to say. They know what the pastor's going to say, right? I mean, if I'm a good pastor, I'm just going to tell you what this book says, right? So why don't they run to that? They don't want it. Right? Well, I know what he's going to say. You know how many people I've heard say that? Not my dad, my grandpa, my uncle, me. Well, I'm not going to talk to him. I know what he's going to say. Well, if he's going to tell you what the Bible says, listen to me, that works. It works. He's got a perfect record. He's never failed. The problem is we don't want to surrender. The problem is it's the little things. My life isn't such, you know, I just don't have hope. I don't know how I can make it another day. Please pray for me. And I do, and I will, and I'm so thankful for those who ask that. You know, and it's, well, see you at church Sunday. If we don't obey righteousness, then we're asking for the law of sin and death. Does that make sense? If we don't do what we know we're supposed to do, how can we expect any finish other than what the Bible says? Well, I don't. Let God be true and every man a liar. Amen? If we're going to find liberty from the law of sin, its salvation starts there. Then it's the Spirit of God. Get in the Word of God. It's submission. What the Spirit is showing you, you need to do it. And then it comes down to surrender. In Romans chapter number 5 and in verse number 21. Romans 5 and verse 21. It says this. Romans 5:21, that as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might, I love this, grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. Isn't that awesome? Sin used to reign, and what did sin demand? Death. But now I got a new king in my life. Amen. It's grace. God's grace. When I allow God's grace to reign in my life, that's what it says, right? Even so might grace reign. When grace, now listen to me, when the Lord Jesus Christ, his grace, when God's grace reigns in my life, you know what's going to be? Here's the conduit. This is how he reigns in my life, the conduit through what? Look at your verse. Through what? Righteousness. You know how I know when God's reigning? I want to do right. I just want to do right. The conduit is through righteousness. The crown, through righteousness unto, what's the end result? Eternal life. Isn't that a much better end than the law of sin? The law of sin brings what? Death. But when grace reigns in my life, what's the end? Eternal life. The conduit is righteousness. The crown is eternal life. And the cause of it all is by who? By Christ our Lord. Jesus Christ our Lord. Who gets all the glory? Only the Lord. How is this all even possible? Only through the Lord. So which law have you yielded to? Which law is in action in your life right now? Which law is reigning in your life? One of the two is. The law of sin just brings death. The law of the Spirit brings life. One of two is reigning. Say, I want grace to reign in my life. Number one, be saved. If you're not saved, get saved today. If you are saved, you need to allow the Spirit of God to be in control of your life and surrender to Him and submit to Him and let grace reign in your life through the Lord Jesus Christ and to eternal life. Let's